Today is Sunday, the first day of the August 2006 7-day retreat in Springwater. It's a beautiful day, it couldn't be any better. The gentle breeze through the doors, windows. Not too hot, not too cold. And quiet, mostly. So we'll talk on the first day about a new attending, which includes new listening and seeing and touching, less thinking if possible. It's nice to see so many new people here. So, you probably have a lot of questions. Mostly for new people, it is, what is the practice here? What do you give a practice? What do we do here when we sit down? And the first response may be, nothing special, which is very difficult for us to do, nothing special. Because we always demand some task, some goal. It's hard to get out of bed without some kind of a goal, something to achieve, because that energizes the body. And here, we're asking whether it's possible to sit down quietly or walk, whatever you may be doing, with nothing special in mind. If anything, the mind learning to empty itself of all the weight it has been carrying for millennia. The weight of memory, of what has happened to us, what other people have done to us. And without much doing, something gathers to pay back for what we have suffered, to pay back the others who've made life hard for us, or who are trying to take what is ours. To first of all, to become aware of all the dross that is weighing down this human mind. Not just mine or yours, but the human mind. Humankind's mind. Which means nothing more or less than a fresh attention to listen without a prejudice, or to become aware of the heavy weight of prejudices that linger everywhere in the mind. Not just prejudice against others, against ourselves too, how we ought to be and how we're afraid we're not being like we were told to be. So first of all, there's no one here telling you how to be, what to do, what to practice. This is not what is going on here. It is rather if possible, an opening of the heart and mind to aware what is really going on and to learn to differentiate that from what we think ought to be going on. It's a big difference to learn to see that difference. Not what we ought to be or ought to think or other people ought to be like or do, but how things are in their stark facts. Unadulterated. Not prettied up, not made up to look better than what it is. Because we don't know what things ought to be. We only want to learn to see how things are in this mind, which is the human mind. It's not my personal mind. It is our mind. Everyone participates in it, shares it. When the meditative process sinks deeper and also physically deeper, lower, we realize that there is in fact no you and me as far as this mind is concerned. Of course, we have all had different experiences. Different ideas have been inculcated into our minds. But this inculcation is universal. Different angles to it, different words, different phrases, different philosophies. But inculcated, we all are. We are all conditioned to think this way rather than that way of ourselves and of others. And because there are these differences in conditioning, we can't get along with each other because it's a strange fact that human beings can't tolerate how other people are. We have to learn this from the bottom on. Not just to tolerate, but just to see how different people, including ourselves, think and look at the world and react to it and react to us. Just to become aware of it. Is that possible? Just to become aware of it without this immediate idea it ought to be different. I will teach them something. Or I will show them what's better in my conditioning rather than yours. Conditioning it all is, whether it is black, white, gray, or all the shades of colors, we are all conditioned to think, to act, to respond, to love and to hate. And the first step is not what can I do for the world, how can I change the others, but how am I functioning myself from moment to moment to allow a new view of ourselves? Every moment to aware the responses, the upsets, the angers, the envies, jealousies, and notice how deeply the idea sits that, no, I'm not envious or I'm not jealous. The others are. I'm not. I freed myself of it. None of us has, unless there is this moment-to-moment awaring going on. Moment to moment, not to rely on this moment of clarity to hold over for the next moment. It has to be fresh every moment. You cannot rely on memory. Memory is very unreliable for all of us. The only thing that's reliable is a fresh look, a fresh view. Fresh meaning out of the depth of our being, where conditioning has not reached. Is that possible? Is it possible that there is a place, an area, a space where conditioning has not touched? Is it possible? And if so, we have to find out. We have to find out whether there is indeed a mode of being which is untouched by conditioning. And can it be awared or come into awareness which is unprejudiced, untilted, has no preferences. Awareness has no preferences, no knowledge of good or evil. These are conditioned responses. Everything that's either good or evil comes out of our conditioned mind. Awareness shows it, that we're prejudiced, that this one is good and the other one is bad or evil, possessed, whatever words we use to describe the other people and to describe them so thoroughly, particularly to our defense forces, so that they have a motivation to go out and attack and die for our ideas, to conquer, to be victorious over the others. This has been going on since time immemorial. The ideas have changed. The conditioning has changed, but it has not changed that there is conditioning and that we fight and aggress in terms of our conditioning and others' conditionings, because it's the other conditionings that we feel have to be wiped out, wiped from the face of the earth, so that there be a clean, pure earth, which is a figment of the imagination. We have to have a very modest question whether there is an area of being in which there is no conditioning, that does not know of it, and whether that is touchable, reachable, whether it can come to light and show exactly how we are. Not our good sides and our bad sides, but the way they are, the way we respond. Exactly. How did I respond this moment? Or better yet, how am I responding this moment? Can it be seen so clearly that it takes care of itself? By which I mean, clear seeing already is the change in a human being. Because out of that grows love and compassion and intelligence, not manufactured by books and teachings and religions and political ideas. Not manufactured. It comes out of clarity, out of the love and intelligence that inhabits this presence, this being aware without taking sides. Ask yourself, is it possible for one moment to look and listen here and there and everywhere without taking sides? In clarity, there are no sides. There's only what is. Now and now and now. Can that be attended or aware or seen, heard with a fresh mind that is emptying itself of its old dusty content, emptying itself because it is seen, and the seeing is intelligent and sees what is conducive to a loving life together, an intelligent coexistence. We haven't learned that. It has not been a school topic. There's no course given in it. No elementary 101 or 202 awareness. This is not teachable. It's not givable because it is here and ready to be aware, ready to be aware, to be opened up with this, what we've called new listening, new attending, with the unveiled and undarkened eyes of a baby, of a newborn baby. This is what is so loving about newborn babies. We all have to smile when we see a good shot, a good photograph. Because in those eyes of a newborn baby, or maybe at least a week old, when the eyes are opening up, there's just wonder and amazement and wanting to touch and lick and examine, hold. Not yet any ideas, but they come in barrages to the newborn brain, forming it, loading it up with programs, loaded brain gets loaded, gets, how do we say, down, booted up or booted down, all this new language which I haven't learned too well. We all have gone through that without knowing, without giving our permission. This has not been a process of consent. It just happens because it has happened for hundreds and thousands of years, loading up the human brain, the newborn brain, into a stratified and idea-ridden entity, all compartmentalized. The one who is passing things on isn't aware, and the one who is being conditioned is not aware of these processes. They happen unbeknownst. That's why we're such willing victims, if you will. We don't know what's happening to us. And when we don't know what we're doing to others either. It's not intentional. Of course, there is a lot of intentional conditioning when you sometimes see reports about particularly military schools or religious training, how this process operates, forming and molding and loading up the human mind with ideas and compulsions which are taken to be normal, natural, important. If I think back now, all the pictures, framed sayings that were hanging in our school corridors and staircases, they were accompanying the children on their way up and down. One of them is, "You are nothing, your country is everything." Now, the first part is okay. The trouble is that there is the identification process, and by that we mean assuming that I am all of that, all of the stuff that has been stuffed and programmed into the brain, is that's all me. My country is me. I'll die for it, just as I will die if it's my turn. Give the life for my country. This is age old, and there have been the severest of penalties for those who have tried to evade that or run away from it, hide from service. Military service mostly is the ones that we have often hidden from, but the punishments are severe enough to discourage it. And the indoctrination that we're doing the right thing is so strong that one is willing to give one's life for the ideas in one's head. It's been amazing to me to watch on the news how soldiers badly beaten up, badly hurt and injured with artificial limbs and what have you, saying, and it seems voluntarily, in quotation marks, because conditioning does it. It's no free will, it's conditioned will. I want to go back. Back because I don't want to run away from my friends who are out there in the fire, in the line of fire. I have to be back and join them. So, what does it have to do with retreating? Well, retreating is anything but new conditioning. It is solely concerned, if at all, with bringing our conditioning to light. We call it the light of awareness or attention or clarity, right seeing, right understanding. Right understanding, which is the first of a whole series of precepts or paths, usually starts with right understanding. And what is the rightest of understanding? It's that there's not an entity here, but a conditioned brain. Conditioned to know, to react, to act. And is it possible to let that come to light? Is it possible to see freshly, clearly, what is going on in this mind? And by that we don't mean to dig in the past. The past will reveal itself here and there, particularly in a silent retreat. People have always reported amazing memories cropping up about experiences in childhood or earlier life. So let it come up. Nothing needs to be done about it. The fact that it has come up is sufficient. Come up and seen in the clarity of no judging. Not judging those who have told us this, because they too have been conditioned to do what they did. So, it is an amazing fact that it is given to us all to wake up from the dream of our conditioning, the dream of our ideas and fantasies, to wake up to the fact that most of what we think is fantasy, is not fact. And you could say, well, how do you know that? You prove that to me. I cannot prove it to you. Wake up yourself, and you will see very clearly, very intelligently, and maybe even lovingly, not with tremendous desire to avenge those who did something to me, but with compassion for everyone who has been participating in this conditioning. Compassion for what people have gone through and are going through with a loving heart. That doesn't look for the next revenge, but it sees revenge for what it is. Sees it clearly in bright daylight. You say, well, what is it? Tell us. Wake up to it. Wake up to a moment of vengeful thoughts and look into them. What they say, what they want to do, and how futile it all is to follow those thoughts and those suggestions of revenge. Not somebody else tell us, because that's new conditioning. It has to come out of this freedom of space. An unconditioned space that is open and just shows us and the world and the trees and birds, the sky and the water running in the creek, just how it is. Well, you could say, well, how is it? Is it such a boring phrase? Well, wake up, see, look, and see for yourself. Don't read about it or ask someone else how it is. It has to come from each one of us. And it can, because we're all touching the same source, the same ground. In an amazing form of togetherness, of wholeness, undividedness. knows no separation. Not because somebody has convinced us that this is a good ideal, a good principle. No, to wake up to the fact that there is no separation. That we're all one. Not as a fine philosophical idea, but a fact that can be seen so overwhelmingly clear. Clothed in love, compassion. Now, I think it will be clear to most of us who have done some sitting, some meditation, that the mind is still full of ideas, full of roaming thoughts, cannot see clearly. It is just possessed by these thoughts and ideas. It does need to quiet down. And maybe a 7-day retreat like this in relatively quiet country. There are some distant sounds of motors, but they don't need to disturb if we don't object to it. See whether it is possible just by maybe listening to the breathing. Take something, I picked what is closest and what is used most often, has been used for thousands of years by meditation teachers to aware the breathing, to follow it, not to direct it, to be this way or that way. But how is it? And let it show itself to a curious mind that wants to learn afresh about itself. What is this breathing? Can it be seen, heard, felt without any idea clothing it? It has an amazing effect for most people who do that, the awaring of breathing, that it calms the mind, mind being thoughts and memories, has a calming effect. Just following or awaring the breathing in and out. And in and out, maybe long and choppy or short, or whichever way, find out it changes. It changes and sometimes calms in such a way that one thinks, I'm not breathing anymore, there is no breath to watch. Okay, then just listen to the bird that's there. And some, what sounds like distant radio, and some chirping, or maybe it is a chipmunk. If the mind sort of sink in this realm of space without knowing, we don't know what it is. It could be the strangest or simplest of animals that we ever heard or saw. Naming it doesn't matter. It doesn't bring it any closer. What brings it close is the pureness of listening without knowing. Awaring this instant. the chip, chip, chip. And whatever else is taking place in this calm, quiet space of listening. And the breathing, all the sniffling, whatever's there, what is it? Not defining it. Defining brings trouble and disagreement. One person says it's this, and the other person says it's that. And that's not the point. The point is, what is it? As an opening question that says, I don't know, but let me listen freshly. Said yesterday that if there are questions brought up in the talk and you want to not forget, then write it down after the talk and bring it up this afternoon in our dialogue meeting. Write it down so you don't have to carry more than a piece of paper. Let the mind be free of it. Free of the compulsion of memory. We will end here for today.